All right, let's take the Word of God and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Going through the book of Hebrews rather quickly until we reach chapter 11, and slowing down a little bit. But I believe there, I want us to consider as we continue here going through chapter 11 that everything that he's spoken of in the book of Hebrews has built to this point. The problem in the life of these Hebrew Christians was faith. As it was in the Old Testament for the children of Israel in the wilderness, as he gives them an example, and by the way, it is still the issue today. Just in this passage alone, just if you take time to read this over and over again, there are so many principles and truths that we learn about faith and what it means in the life of the believer. That's why he says here that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. And really in this chapter, there are so many lessons that can be learned. And we've been going through really verse, we reached verse number 6 last week. And we dealt with, 2 weeks ago, by faith, Abel. We talked about the excellent sacrifice of faith. And then we dealt with Enoch, and we really looked at another aspect. We looked at the exceptional walk, or the exceptional walk of faith. He was translated, and he was not found because God had translated him. This evening, we're going to look at by faith Noah. Notice verse number seven, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So we've dealt with Abel, the excellent sacrifice of faith, Enoch, the exceptional walk of faith, and this evening we're going to deal with Noah, the endeavoring work of faith. Perhaps, as we consider the work, the physical work done, there is no work that God has requested any person to do, physically speaking, than the work that he asked Noah to do. If you've been out in the ark out in Kentucky, you'd understand just by the sheer volume of that thing and think about how really primitive things were back then is astounding to think that God would ask Noah to build such a thing. So we're going to speak this morning on the endeavoring work of faith. Now again, in verse number 1 through 3, he goes on to describe for us faith. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And through these verses, we've already learned and established that faith is the opposite of sometimes how it is used today. Sometimes people say, well, have faith that the weather is going to be good for you. Or some people use it as a good luck charm. This is not the faith he's talking about. The faith that he's speaking of, notice, is the substance. It is the evidence. In other words, it is something that is real. It is the opposite of what is imaginary or what is made up. It is something that is real. And again, we say that we found that it finds its foundation in what? In the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And for by it, this faith that is real, the elders obtain a good report. And then he goes on to say that through faith we understand. In other words, sometimes people say, well, I can't understand this whole Christian thing and creation and versus evolution. I don't understand that. Let me say this. You settle the faith issue, you'll understand everything. Right. And so he says here that when through faith, there's things that we understand. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. And he goes on now to proceed with some examples to show us how real, how foundational this faith really was. And gives us example after example after example to show these discouraged Christians that the issue that they had in their lives was a lack of faith. Not for salvation, we've already established that in this whole book, but for daily living. Faith is not just necessary, although it is in salvation, but it is also necessary in everyday, for everyday living. Just as grace, the grace of God is necessary for salvation, but by the end of the book, he will say that you have failed the grace of God on a daily basis. And so God wants to, again, do that work and come help us to understand the struggles in our lives that we face surround faith. Now, before we deal with this passage, I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 6, Because I want us to see here the circumstance in which here Hebrews chapter 11 pulls the curtain for us. As I mentioned last week, as he mentions those names, we think back on the stories and we've been looking at Abel and Enoch and now Noah. And really in the Old Testament passages, you don't find God saying, look, this is their faith. But what the Bible says, what the Bible does for us in the book of Hebrews is explains for us everything that took place in the Old Testament. That's why we cannot understand the Old Testament without the book of Hebrews. It is necessary for us. And so we see here that really God pulls the curtain back in Hebrews chapter 11 and shows us that everything that you see that these men did was by faith. By faith. He doesn't say that in the Old Testament, but that's what we come to understand in Hebrews 11. Now notice Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, but man, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I like that. I like the buts in the Bible. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Think about this statement. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. In other words, everything that God created and designed for man was corrupted. You think, well, man, things are being corrupt today. They were corrupted in the days of Noah. And if Noah could live by faith in his day, surely can we. Think about, you exclude every single family in the earth except Noah's family. Everybody was corrupt. Wow. That's the day Noah lived in. Hey, we have enough here people to encourage one another and say, hey, we have more people than Noah did. But he continues by saying in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it with shittim, and pitch it within and without with pitch. And he goes on to describe Noah exactly how he would build the ark. But I want us to consider, as we examine here the faith of Noah, we have to understand within which circumstance we found this faith. This faith must have been very strong to realize and to recognize that every single fleshly being on earth at that time, except his family, was corrupt. The Bible says the earth was filled with violence. It was anarchy. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the day that we find Noah. And may I say that the day that we are in is not worse than the day that Noah was in. It's not. So it is possible to live by faith today. You know, think about it. God first spoke to Noah about building the ark more than 100 years before the flood actually came. Think about that. That was a long, it's not like, you know, God said, all right, you got 2 months, and then, no. Over 100 years. That is faith. So let's look at the passage, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 with this in mind, as we consider the faith of Noah. Again, notice, let's read the verse again. He says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. First of all, as we consider the endeavoring work of faith, we see, first of all, the initiating of the work of faith. What is it that initiated this work that Noah undertook to do by faith? Notice we find, first of all, in this passage, the premise of faith. The Bible says here, by faith, Noah, being warned of God. Now, we've already established that based upon the first three verses that faith lives in God's word and thoughts. It sees what the world cannot see. It sees all, the future too, in the light of God. It does not trust in its own experience or instincts, its thoughts or wishes. It is based upon the Word of God. So the premise of Noah's faith was the Word of God. He was warned of God of things not seen, which was in this case a warning from God about the flood. Now, I'm reminded that throughout the Scriptures, as God gives out His Word, that man has an opportunity to believe His Word by faith. Now, the example that we've studied already in this book is the example that was given of the children of Israel. God said, you go into the promised land, and it's a land flowing with milk and honey. They went and spied out the land and found out it was exactly what God had said. What was the problem? They did not have faith. They were filled with, according to Hebrews chapter 5, with unbelief. They did not believe that God could deliver those people into their hands. And by the way, this pattern is seen throughout the Word of God. But may I say that the Word of God is the premise for our faith? By faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a decision that we have to make as we believe God by faith. Are we going to take God at His Word? Think about a few examples of individuals, for example, in 1 Samuel 15:23. Remember, as Saul disobeyed God, God said, go out, smite the Amalekites, and kill everything that they have. Do not spare the sheep, do not spare the people, do not spare the king. What did they do? They kept the best of the sheep, the best of the ox, they kept the king alive. So Samuel was sent to Saul, and he said that God has rejected you from being king. But he said this in chapter 15, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected what? The word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. A rejection of the word of God. You see, Saul thought, I have a better idea than what God said. Can you imagine if Noah did that? God, I've never heard of that. We've never had boats before. It's never rained. And you tell me to build an ark to the magnitude that man has never seen. A boat on dry land with no way to get it in the water. Yes. Taking God at His Word. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11, the Bible says, But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. In other words, Noah made a conscious decision as God, as being warned of God of the coming flood, he decided to believe His Word by faith. But people throughout their centuries and throughout the Word of God are seen where people say, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to listen to the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 10. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart. Think about it. That is the opposite of faith, isn't it? To walk in the imagination of your heart, that is the opposite of what is faith, what is real, what is the foundation for a person's life. He goes on to say, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and do worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Isn't that the truth in the Christian life? That the Christian that does not live by the faith of the Word of God is good for nothing. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we see, notice, the premise of faith. It is the Word of God. What pushed Noah? What gave Noah the faith to believe? It was the Word of God. That is the premise of faith. But number two, in the initiating of the work of faith, we see number two, the perception of faith. Now, the Bible tells us, by faith, Noah being, notice, warned of God of what? Of things not seen as yet. In other words, the warning that God gave Noah was something that Noah did not experience. Think about it. Faith finds its foundation again in the Word of God and therefore understands the things that are not seen, such as creation. That's what he says in verse 3. By faith, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In other words, the understanding of creation comes when a person has that faith in God and God's revealed Word. And so Noah here, think about it, he is placing his faith, the perception of his faith is on what? Is not on something that he's experienced. Is not on something that he's seen. And perhaps during the days that he lived, he has seen a snippets of the judgment of God. But here his perception is not on what he has seen and experienced, because the flood had never been experienced. Rain had never been experienced. An ark had never been built. The judgment of God upon the earth as a whole had never been done before. And so Noah is, the perception of his faith is towards something that has not happened. but that will happen. You see, the initiating of the work of faith, if we are going to have an initiation of us, of doing the work of faith, or of endeavoring the work of faith, the premise, we see the premise of faith must be the Word of God, and the perception of faith must be in something that we can't see or haven't experienced. It is what, again, the foundation is the Word of God and what God says. That's the foundation. The opposite, again, of those that walk after their own imaginations. You know, it's very, very easy to make up your own God. But what's difficult, what's challenging, is to accept the one that does exist and to follow His Word. Faith. So we see, first of all, the initiating of the work of faith. The premise of faith, the perception of faith. But number two, we see not only the initiating of the work of faith, but number two, the inciting of the work of faith. What is it that incited Noah to go ahead and build this ark based upon what God had said, or something that he had not experienced yet, but that was going to happen? Notice number one, we see first of all the prompting of faith. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, as yet, moved with fear. Noah had never again seen the judgment of God on the scale it would be manifested as it would be in the flood. Think about it. This fear was not prompted by knowing what was going to happen, but rather was prompted by his knowledge of his God, who would be pouring out his judgment upon the wicked world. In other words, the fear of God in the life of Noah did not come when God says, okay, I'm going to judge the world. That is not when the fear of God came in the life of Noah. The fear of God was established a long time in the life of Noah before God ever brought the flood talk about. And Noah did not fear what God was going to do, but rather what God could do. There's a difference. You see, sometimes the people only begin to fear the Lord when something tragic or something drastic takes place in their lives. But the fact of the matter is, we need to fear God because of who He is and because of what we know that He can do. The Bible tells us in Genesis in chapter 6 and verse 7, He says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And then he says in the next verse, "And Noah walked with God." What is it that moved Noah with fear as he heard the message? It was not because of what was going to happen, because of what he knew the God he worshipped. This fear of God came about by walking with God. It did not come about by hearing about the judgment of God that was going to happen. That's why he built an ark today. That's why he did that. He did that because he knew the kind of God that he served. And he already feared Him. It was already established in his life. And that is what is really, as we think about what incited the work of faith, is the fact that Noah walked with God. He already feared God. And because he already feared God, his faith was able to trust in the Word of God, knowing that the judgment was going to come because of the God that he served as he walked with Him. We already talked, the Bible says in Enoch, walked with God. You know what that means? That means step in step. As God turns this way, you turn that way. And it's a constant walking with Him. It is not going our own direction. It is walking with Him, in fellowship with Him, abiding, if you would, in Him, as we've been studying in Sunday mornings. And so again here, this fear is a product of walking with God. The world laughed, but Noah feared God. So we see in the inciting of the work of faith, which is the prompting of faith, was the fear of God. But number two, we see the performance of faith. So the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Notice the performance of faith. The Bible says he prepared an ark. You know, faith is the prompter of action. Faith does not sit and do nothing. It may be required at times by faith to sit and wait for some time, but faith is a great determiner, prompter of our conduct. This was a significant building project. It wasn't like building a house today. This was significant. Faith works hard. Faith is zealous. It is earnest, and it is enthusiastic in doing the will of God. Can you imagine the amount of work that took to build the ark? Just study a little bit how the ark was built in Kentucky. And then you'd realize that the days of Noah, how that was even possible. Can you imagine the amount of ingenuity, the amount of time that was spent in planning and in all the work that had to go into that? And may I say that the performing of faith must be just that in the Christian life. It must be zealous, earnest, enthusiastic for doing the will of God as Noah did the will of God. You know, the difference between the unbeliever and the believer is this. The one is a man of the world and lives here. The other is a man of God and lives in heaven. His whole life is a protest and a condemnation of the world. Abel, Enoch, and Noah, all three were equally rejected and despised by the world because they what? They condemned its works. Just by Noah building the ark, you know what he was doing when he did that? He was condemning the world. Now we're going to see that and we'll go there in just a moment. But think about, again, the inciting of the work of faith. The prompting. What is it that prompted him to be obedient to his word? Fear of God. And the performance of faith. It took zeal. That's what faith is. If faith is true in our lives, it will be demonstrated in our lives by something that we can see, touch, feel. There's going to be an outward evidence of what has taken place in a person's life. What would cause people to die and burn at the stake for their faith? Because their faith is real. Just read the Book of Martyrs. If you haven't read the Book of Martyrs, you need to read the Book of Martyrs. Just going through human history and look at the people that have died based on their faith who would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is the inciting of the work of faith. So we have the initiating of the work of faith, the inciting of the work of faith. But number three, we have the implication of the work of faith, or the implications. Now the Bible tells us here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Notice, by the which, in building the ark, by the which, he condemned the world. As Noah was building the ark, you know what he was doing? He was condemning the world. You know what that meant? The ark meant? The ark meant judgment is coming. And salvation is in the ark. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming for this world. But salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But apparently we know that nobody else came except Noah and his family aboard the ark. So notice the implication of the work of faith. There's really three things I want us to see as we consider every time that it is mentioned, the name Noah is mentioned in the New Testament. We think about the implication. First of all, we have this implication. First of all, we see the care of God. The Bible mentions Noah in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, and says this of Noah and his ministry. It says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The Bible points out to us here that although the judgment of God was coming, he's trying to show us the implication that the care of God was involved. Why? Because God waited over 100 years and gave people the opportunity to turn to God. Now some people say, well, how could God wipe out every single man upon the face of the world? What do you mean? He waited 100 years. And His mercy and His grace was extended to the world. What grace and mercy. What a merciful and gracious God we serve. And as we think about the implication of this work of faith, it reveals to us the care of God. He tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. In other words, there was plenty of opportunity as Noah was building the ark for over 100 years to point to people there is salvation in the ark. There is an answer that you don't have to face the judgment that's going to come from God upon this world. So the implication of the work of faith is, first of all, we see the care of God, but number two, we see the condemnation of the world. The Bible says that as he was building the ark by faith, he, by doing so, condemned the world. So we not only see the care of God, but we see also the condemnation of the world. And may I say that as we walk by faith, these are the implications as we walk by faith in this world. People will see the care of God, but people will also see the condemnation of the world. Why do you think Jesus Christ said they will hate you for your faith? Because there's implication that comes by living by faith. And that is, we condemn the world. Do we wonder why the world hates us? As we try to preach the truth from His Word, why does the world hate us? That was a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. They will hate you. They will persecute you for my name's sake. If the world hate me, they're going to hate you. That's what He said. And as we consider the implication that as we live by faith, what we are condemning the world. So rejection will happen. Mockery will happen, as no doubt it did in the days of Noah. Can you imagine what was going on there? The people laughing. Noah, what are you doing? It's been over 50 years. What are you talking about? Water come down from the sky. What are you talking about? The judgment of God. Look, we're doing what we want. Where's God? God has not struck us down with lightning. We're fine. Look, it's been 50 years. It's been 60 years. It's been 80 years. It's been 100 years, Noah. Where's your God? He's not coming. No judgment is coming. But Noah, in living by faith, condemned the world. I would imagine that as the flood started rising and that it started raining, I would imagine that these people that mocked him thought to themselves, oh, what fools we've been. As these people try in their own energy to get to the highest place they can, and every single piece of grass and tree and mountain is covered by water. There's nowhere to escape. You see, faith, not only the implication of faith reveals the care of God, but it reveals the condemnation of the world. But number three, it reveals the carelessness of the world as well. The two times we find the name of Noah used in the gospel, it is a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 17, where the Bible says this in Matthew 24, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Think about it. The Bible shows us here, reveals for us what they were doing all the time that Noah walked by faith and was building the ark. The Bible says they were living their lives carelessly. They were eating, they were drinking, they were being given in marriage. They were living their lives not caring about the judgment of God, not caring about spiritual things, not caring about Noah, not caring about the ark, not caring about the Word of God, not caring about the things of God. They lived their lives for the now, for the temporal. And it reveals for us the carelessness of the world. He says the same thing in Luke 17. He says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." So the implications of the work of faith reveal several things: the care of God, the condemnation of the world, but also the carelessness of the world. But lastly, I want us to consider not only the initiating of the work of faith, the inciting of the work of faith, the implications of the work of faith, but lastly, the impact of the work of faith. The Bible tells us again in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark," notice, "to the saving of his house." And then he goes on to say, "By which he condemned the world and became," notice, "heir of the righteousness, which is by faith." Think about the impact of the work of faith. First of all, we see, number one, the earthly impact of faith. He saved his house. I would imagine that outside of losing every single person in the world, although it was devastating, the most heartbreaking thing that Noah could have experienced was losing his own family. But that day, he didn't lose them. He saved them. How? By faith. My faith, it doesn't matter what I do in life. I can just live my own way. No, no, no. Faith has an impact in the lives of people. primarily in the lives of our family, because in the lives of our families, they see us in their home. They see how we live. They know us like nobody else knows us. And we can live by faith outside of the home, but inside of the home is paramount. It is the most important place where we can exercise our faith and show to our family that as we live by faith, trust God, fear God, and do the work of faith, it will impact those in our house more than anybody else. I remember my father told me all that throughout growing up. He says, look, he says, son, you can have a family one day. And may I say, you may have a great ministry and pastor 1,000 people, but if you lose your family, you've lost everything. What is he trying to communicate to me? That you can save the world, but if you lose your family, you've lost everything. You see, Noah lost the world, but he saved his family. How? By faith. By faith. May I say that you cannot please God by faith, but you cannot impact your family without faith. It is impossible. You cannot do it. It must have an impact. It will have an impact. So we see the impact of the work of faith, not only the earthly impact of faith, but we see, number two, the eternal impact of faith. The Bible says not only did he save his house, but at the end of the verse 7, he says, and he became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. This is the greatest inheritance one can ever have. This speaks of the blessing of salvation, which comes to the one who believes in God by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Bible makes it clear to connect us being heirs of salvation by faith in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Galatians chapter 2, verse 29. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Concerning angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation? Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see, the greatest thing that could be said of Noah, really the greatest impact that the faith of Noah had in his life, is not only the earthly impact, but the eternal impact of his faith. You see, the faith that he had allowed him to become an heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Again, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And really, in these short verses, we understand, as we look back in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8, as we see the flood happening and all the things that were surrounding the circumstances, that Noah lived and did that, how? By faith. By faith. God is showing us that it is impossible to live the Christian life and do the work of faith without trusting in Him as a person by faith. The work of faith cannot be done without faith. And if we are going to be, again, why are some people so zealous to do the work of God? Because of faith. Why are some people so casual about doing the work of God? Because of a lack of faith. You see, as we stand again in the crossroads, as they're about to, the children about to enter into the promised land, 10 spies says, we can't do it. We can't defeat those enemies. And it is a shame that God has brought us all the way out here to die in the wilderness. But there were two, Caleb and Joshua, who said, we can take it. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter what the enemy... Look, this is what God said. Let's go. Let's go into the promised land. Let's go, God. This is the will of God. Well, what separates the two? Faith. On the one side, think about the lack of faith. It got all these people that did not believe in God from 20 years and upward. They all died. But these two, God separates and brings it to the top and said, but not Caleb and Joshua. They're going to live. And they're going to enter into the promised land. They're going to know what it's like to live in victory, while the rest of the nation of Israel is going to die because of their lack of faith. May I say that when we don't have faith in God, we might as well be as dead in this life. But the faith, do you see what it produces? In the midst of an unbelieving world, it brings us, God says, I'm going to give you something that is so special. Separate you from those that are not walking by faith. Faith is absolutely important. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Let's pray.